And then I came back. But if you've never been to Lakeside, there's something interesting about Lakeside. You have to go there to experience it. Now, I had a great opportunity last night. Some of you old timers will remember the name Debbie Boone and Pat Boone. Debbie Boone actually performed at Lakeside last night. And I was telling the college kids, you know, tonight at 8:15, Debbie Boone's performing. Complete blank look on their face. Debbie who? Who's Debbie Boone? Oh, she's the daughter of Pat Boone. It's Pat Boone. Well, anyway, we were walking and Debbie Boone was practicing a couple hours before in this big auditorium. And you have to go to Lakeside to experience Lakeside. There's little cottages and stuff everywhere. But there's this giant auditorium. It seats 3,000 people. And I was telling the kids, you know, there's going to be a couple thousand people here tonight. What are you talking about? Sure enough, there were over 2,000 people at the thing last night. But anyway, beforehand, we were walking by, some of the kids and I, and Debbie Boone was in there practicing. And this lady walked by, a well-dressed lady, about my age, and she stopped, because we were listening in through the windows, and she stopped. She said, "That's Debbie Boone practicing in there." I said, "I know, we're listening to her." And again, the blank look on the face of the college kids. But she goes, you got to see her. She's so great. And it turns out she's the wife of one of the musicians in the live band that was there. They had about five musicians playing, and she was the wife of one. She said, I live in Cincinnati, and I can't believe this place. This place is awesome. I never knew anything like this existed. And she said, "I thought this was just another gig, but this is really a great experience." You just have to go to Lakeside to experience it. One of the things about Lakeside, though, is you got to get used to. You have to have something to get in. I happen to have it right here. They call it a gate pass, and the gate pass, you pay it every day, or you pay it, you know, there's a certain amount every day. And like this says, Sunday, August 9th until 7 p.m. And so I may be going back there to join the college kids for this nice hot day on the beach. But anyway, you have to have this to get in, and you have to have it to get out. It's a weird place. And then when I went to Debbie Boone last night and listened to about a half hour of her program, and sure enough, I had to show this to get in. This shows that I belong to Lakeside for this period of time. It gives me the privileges to go in and take advantage of everything about Lakeside. It is my identity that I belong and that I'm in. In my pocket's another item. Recognize this? It's a passport. This is the thing that you need if you're going on a trip. And now, apparently to pretty soon, or maybe now to Canada, or you go anywhere else, you got to have your passport. You got to get it. You got to have it to go out, and you have to have it to come back in. It identifies you as a citizen of the United States of America. A couple years ago, Terry and I were traveling, and we went to Israel, and we were touring Israel, and the day came for us to leave, and we were with a group, and I was the group leader, you know, because I had gotten all these guys and girls to come to the Holy Land, and we were in our hotel waiting to go, and then I said, "Oh, Terry, we've got to have our passports, get them ready." Oh, I'll make a long story short. She could not find her passport. We looked high and low. We went to the tour bus. We went through her luggage. We went through everything. Couldn't find her passport. It came to the end where we were calling the embassy. You know how you can go to the embassy and try to figure out a way. And it wasn't an embassy. It was another word. Yes. Consulate. And so we're making calls, and so we're getting everything ready to go to the consulate or whatever. And Terry had a book she was reading. It was under her pillow, and in that book was her passport, marking where she was reading. Oh, the relief. relief that we felt, and we made it. We didn't lose the plane flight or anything, and didn't go to the consulate or whatever. Boy, that's how important this is. It identifies us as a citizen of the United States. I was at Gino's Pizza the other day on Alexis, one of my favorite places to go, and it's my favorite pizza in Toledo. So we went there, and I went there with that man that I was here a couple weeks ago, Neil Clark, and because he's a pizza lover too. So we took him there to show off and everything, and we got there at lunch, and I've never been there for lunch. So we got there for lunch, and there's all these people lined up, and they went and pay, and the guy in front of me, he paid, and the lady said, "And you got your discount." Discount. Well, all of them had a badge on. Well, Gino's on Alexis is across from a GM plant. And that was their GM ID. And they, because they're there, they want the GM employees to come there. They offer a discount. Well, I don't like to not get a discount. So I tried. Do you have a Buckeye card discount? Nope. Do you have a senior citizens discount? No. Oh, so I must have looked. She goes, "I'll give you the GM discount for your friend there." But really, in order to get that GM discount, you have to have that ID, and they were flashing that ID. It shows that they were part of GM, that they belonged. So it is in Christ. There are other signs and symbols. What about the little fish symbol that you see sometimes? These days, sometimes that little fish symbol on a bumper sticker or on a necklace or something, that's a universal and time-honored symbol of someone who's a believer in Christ. And it stands for, you know, the initials of Christ and all that. Or the cross. The cross. That is a symbol. And that is a sign of something. Today we're going to talk about being in Christ. Today we're going to talk about belonging to Christ. It's one thing to belong to Lakeside until 7 o'clock this evening. It's another thing to belong to the United States of America. But it's a way better thing to be identified, to be in union with the cross in Jesus Christ. The passage that we're going to look at today is Colossians 2, 6 to 15. There's so much in it. And this week I've decided, in the last couple of weeks, I've sort of taken the scripture and tried to extract everything from it and give you all these outlines. And my wife was talking to me last week. She said, "You know, you had so many outlines. You had so many points. I got lost. And by the time you're doing your last points, I wasn't even interested." Well, thank you for your honesty, Terry. Today, I'm really just going to focus on one thing. I'm going to ask you for a commitment. And there's a little sheet in your bulletin that we're going to look at in just a minute. So I'm going to read verses 6 through 15. And I want us to concentrate on the symbols that show that we are in Christ. And I'm going to ask, are you in Christ? Do you belong to Him? Are you in union with Him? Are you one of His? Chapter 2, verse 6. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow in Him." I think we have this on the screen. So let's see if we can find that. There we go. I did it. I forget what hour of the day or night I put this up on the PowerPoint, but it's actually there. I'll start all over. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ." That's the key. You also are complete through your union with Christ. Other translations say you are in Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were, quote, circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. The thing I'm going to look at here is in the middle when it talks about when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not physically, but it was a spiritual thing. And then it says you were buried with Christ when you're baptized. And then it says you were raised with Christ from the dead. At one time, all of us were out of Christ. But then Paul talks about us being in Christ. At one time, we were out of Christ. We were, other metaphors or other symbols are, we were in the dark. We were lost. We were without him. We were dead in our sins. But when we are in Christ, the Bible says that we now have the light instead of being in darkness. We now are saved instead of being lost. We now are alive instead of being dead. And Paul talks in this passage about being in Christ, about being in him, and what it means. It means we are identified with Christ. It means we are, it's like he's our ID. And we are identified with Christ through three things I want to look at this morning. We are identified with Christ through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection. We are in Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And there are three symbols that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the cross, baptism, and raising to new life. But I want to concentrate on the middle one, which is burial, baptism. First of all, we identify, one of the ways we identify with Christ, for example, when we are an American, we identify that we are an American by the flag that we salute and that we honor, by our culture. We identify with the United States because of our traditions and many things. Or we may identify with a family by our last name or by our features or by the way that we do things. It was funny, you know, I always, sorry to use you as an example, Ben, but you're here, and it's just so easy. But Ben acts a certain way and does a certain, you know, comports himself in a certain way, people sometimes say that we do things in a similar way. Maybe we play the piano the same way, or I don't think I do things in a certain way. I feel like I do things in a normal way like everyone else. I don't know what everyone's talking about. But yesterday, I wore a mustard or a salmon colored shirt. And one of the guys on the retreat, he's a guest, he wore the same colored shirt. And I walked in, and one of the girls was lying down on the couch because she was felt sick, but she got better. And I walked in, and she thought I was the other guy because I was wearing the same color shirt. But then she said, I wondered why Ryan was coming in. How did she put it? Acting with abrupt energy. What are you talking? The way I describe you is you move with abrupt energy. I've never heard it put that way, but I don't think that Ben does that too. So we identify with the DeLong family the way we sort of are and the way we act. Well, there are three ways that we identify with Christ. One is his death. The passage here says that we identify with him in his death. In fact, it talks about spiritual circumcision. In the Old Testament, you know, the Jewish people, they had to be circumcised, and that was like some sort of symbol. But what Paul's saying, no, you're not. You're sort of spiritually circumcised. You're dying to the former nature. You're cutting away the sinful nature, the former way of life. You're dead to the, verse 8, traditions and philosophies of the world. You're dead to those things. Materialism, relativism, humanism, the deception of the world, the way we normally would identify with the world system, we're dead to that. There's a symbol here. The symbol is the cross, where Jesus was crucified. It has so many meanings. It doesn't just mean that Jesus died for our sins, although it does mean that. It doesn't just mean that Jesus forgave us and sacrificed himself, but it also means that we are in Christ. We are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says this, you are crucified with Christ. So we are in him, in his death. The cross of Christ also then symbolizes the dying of our old nature. The dying of the way we used to be. Maybe not our abrupt energy or the cool, calm, collected way that you may act in your life, but the attitudes, the actions, the sins, the problems, the addictions or whatever in your natural life, those have been crucified with Christ. In fact, we are united with him in his death. Here's what Romans 6 says. It says that we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So we identify with Christ in his death. We are in a spiritual way in him on the cross. We died with him. We don't have time to go into it. All through the New Testament says we were in him in his death. We are dead to the self of our old nature and therefore free from sin. We need to live that way, dead to self. Secondly, we are identified with Jesus Christ through his burial. Jesus died, but then they took him and they buried him in a tomb. They wrapped him all up in those cloths and put the spices and oils on him, and he was in the tomb, buried, sealed in the grave. But verse 12 says, we are buried with Christ in baptism. Our family has a saying. Oh, we have some weird... Not that I think about our family. We are very weird. Like when someone dies... when someone dies, like just the other day someone died. What was that? John Hughes, who is the director of Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. John Hughes. It's a great director. He died. And so we have this network in our family. We always, if we're talking to someone, we say, guess who's dead? And when other people hear it, they think we're being macabre or weird, but it's just a game we play. Anyway, so I put something on the internet about it, and then I got a text from Sam, text message from Sam, who lives up in North Dakota now. And he texts me, he says, I know, because it was the day after, he goes, I know I'm probably too late with this, but guess who's dead? Well, Sam, you're 24 hours too late. But we have this thing. And then, if we're wondering if someone's dead, like, Barney Fife, the guy, Don Knotts, is he alive or dead? And someone will say, well, he's dead. And my dad will say, he better be, they buried him. That's the little thing that we always say. But when someone dies, usually you bury them. Now, nowadays, that's not happening anymore because it's too expensive for that. But anyway, Jesus was buried. To be truly involved in participating in Christ, the Bible says we were buried with Him. Guess who's dead? Mike DeLong. Guess who's dead? You. And I could say, I better be. They buried me. Bury me in Christ. That signifies the old life is gone. You bury someone, they're gone. They're dead, so they're gone. They're buried. And this symbolism means it's rendered inoperative. The old nature, the acts of the old nature, you can read all about in Galatians 5, all the terrible things that the old nature wants to do. We're buried. It's gone. And the symbol for that, the symbol for death is the cross, the symbol for burial is baptism. It's the sign of the burial and resurrection into new life. Baptism is identifying with Christ. I want to talk about baptism. Baptism, the disciples of Jesus were baptized. People in the New Testament were baptized. Peter preached, repent and be baptized as you wash away your sins. Baptism, and I know when I was young, before we really accepted Christ, before we knew what it was to believe in Christ, we were in a church that really didn't preach about Christ at all. It's just almost a club. But they baptized me as an infant. And this was a ritual. But we believe that baptism is something, according to the New Testament, is something that someone does as a sign that they're a believer. That they come to Christ and they are baptized. Now, no ritual makes us alive in Christ. It's just a symbol. It doesn't really wash away our sins, but it's a symbol that we are buried, that our old self is buried. The command in the New Testament is be saved, repent, and be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, for example, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized. And then it says, those who accepted his message were baptized. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 8, another apostle named Philip was preaching the gospel. And the Bible says, when they believed the good news, they were baptized. Then at the end of chapter 8, Philip is riding along and he comes across an Ethiopian man and he leads him to Christ and he says, I believe. And then he says, I would like to be baptized. So they found some water and Philip baptized him right then and there. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter was witnessing many people coming to Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's Peter's quote, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So that's why we baptize people. You're not going to miss out on going to heaven if you're not baptized. It has nothing to do with that. It's just it's a symbol that, you know, I'm proclaiming I'm buried with Christ. And I'm being raised to newness of life. We're going to come back to baptism in just a minute. But we're going to look at resurrection real quick. Because when you bury someone in baptism, you don't leave them down there underwater. You lift them back up. And that's the symbol of resurrection, of new life. Because verse 12 says, and not only were you buried with him in baptism, you were raised with him into newness of life. Not only were we identifying with Christ on the cross and in him when he was crucified, not only are we in him when he was buried, but we are also in him in his resurrection. The Bible says, when you were dead in sins, God made you alive in Christ. From spiritually dead and buried to spiritually alive to God in Christ Jesus. The resurrection into new life means our sins are forgiven. He says the record of charges against us was canceled. What was against us is forgiven and nailed to the cross. We are delivered from the bondage of sin and guilt, and we can live in newness of life. And the Bible calls it fullness of Jesus. We who were dead are now alive. We are in him in his resurrection. In Romans chapter 8 it says, so now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. those who have been set free from the law of sin and death. So the bondage of sin and guilt is nailed to the cross in the old nature, and then we are buried with him in baptism, and then we are raised to newness of life, being set free from the bondage of sin and death. Once we were empty, but now we have the fullness of Christ. Once we were bound by the spiritual powers that be and the authorities that he talks about, that you can read about in this passage that I read, but now we triumph through Christ, and all those authorities and powers are laid waste. We are, in fact, a new creation. The Bible says that we are new creations in Christ. The old things have been buried and passed away, and behold, all things are new. We looked in Colossians chapter 1 a couple of weeks ago, where Paul prayed that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, that your lives would bear fruit for God, growing in the knowledge of God. So the resurrection life means that we need to grow. We need to bear fruit for God. We need to put away, and a little bit later we're going to see in this book, in a couple of weeks, some things that we need to put away, some things we need to put on. So, we've received Christ as Lord. We have taken on his identity. We are in Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In fact, we become his. Now, in the modern times, we don't do this quite as much, but most people, most ladies who are married, take on the name of her husband. The reason that is done, it goes way back, really, to this, where what they're saying is that we are one. I am identifying with you. I am taking on your name, and we are becoming one. The Bible calls us believers, not only the church, but also the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And we will one day celebrate at that great rehearsal dinner or that great wedding dinner. And we have taken on, if you will, his name. We become identified with Christ. We as the bride of Christ. We get a new name. And we become Christians. And we identify with him. God has changed how he looks at us. God has changed the way he looks at us. Instead of being sinners and unrighteous, he looks at us as his bride, as his loving bride. And therefore, Paul says, since we are raised in newness of life, we need to continue to live in him. We need to be rooted and built up in him. That's the first verses I read, verse 6 and 7, says we need to continue. Let me read it. Let's see here. You have received Christ Jesus as Lord, therefore you must continue to follow him. Let your roots go down to him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So we have a responsibility to live in Christ. We've been buried, we're dead in Christ, we are buried with him in baptism, and we are raised to newness of life, and therefore we have a responsibility to grow stronger in the faith, to be rooted up in him and built up in him. That means to get our nourishment from him, to grow stronger through him. Now I want you to look at a sheet that is in your bulletin today. If you don't have one of these sheets, or you didn't get enough bulletins or whatever, raise your hand, and Don in the back will give you one if you want to have your own and don't want to share with someone. I want you to look at this sheet. It looks like this. It's got yellow stuff on the top. And I'm going to just have you do some things. There's a couple over here. And one in the back there. And on this sheet, I have verse 6 at the top, which says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. So, yeah, I'm going to ask you to do some things. couple of months ago, I said, you know, there's some people here that need to give their lives to the Lord, and a bunch of you came forward and gave your lives to Christ. And I'm going to ask you to take some more steps. At the top here, it says, we share in Christ's death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then I have a section here I commit to. These are the things that I have drawn out of the passage today and what I've talked about today. The very first verse of our passage says, as you have received Christ as your Lord. And maybe this morning, you have never accepted Christ as your Lord. You've never said, yeah, I want to take that step. I want to be in Him. I want to be identified with Him. And so, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to fill these things out. But you would check that if you are this morning saying, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and my Savior. The next one is, live for Christ. Verse 6 says, therefore, since you belong to Christ, you need to continue to live in Him. Maybe you've been coming to church, you've been wondering what's going on, wondering about what this Christian life is all about. Sometimes it takes a commitment for you to say, I am this morning writing, checking this and saying, I want to live for Christ. Or maybe you are not grown up very much or not mature in Christ. Maybe you're not drawing strength from Him. You don't feel rooted and built up in Him, nourished by Him. There's so much I can talk about. In John 15, 16, and 17, it talks about being rooted in the vine and grafted into the vine, drawing life from Him. Maybe you want to say, take that step today, be nourished by Christ. Or maybe you want to grow stronger in your faith. You're having trouble with some of the old nature coming back and resisting the temptations of the former life. You're saying, I want to grow stronger in faith. You would check that. And then it says, I want you to live in fullness and life. In Him, we can have fullness of life, Paul says. I want that. Then you would check that. And then last, it talks about being buried with Him in baptism. We believe that people who come to Christ should be baptized. You know, I mean, it's not like we go around and say, have you been baptized? But it's something, it's a way. When I found Christ, I was 11 years old. And I was baptized soon after that, a couple months later. And it was just a sign to the world and a sign to God that I belong to you. I saw it as my ID card. It's just a symbol, but it's a symbol of something great. Death, burial, and resurrection in Christ. So we're going to have a baptism. And I'm hoping to have 10, 15, or 20 people baptized on August 30th. Gives you 3 weeks to think about it. But if you have come to Christ and you want to be baptized, I want to baptize you. Or we want to baptize you. We'll figure it out. And so on August 30th, we're going to go. Right now it looks like we're going to go to the Bueller's house, where they have a pool. We have a pool too, but we have a deep end. You might do the death and the burial, but you might not have the resurrection. We want to make sure you come up out of that water. So we're going to go to the Bueller's house, and what we're going to do is we're going to have a nice carry-in meal here. We're just going to have a shorter service. We're going to have a little fellowship time here, get that hunger taken care of. We're going to go down the street to the Bueller's house over in Shoreland, and we're going to have a baptism there. We'll have some dessert there too, where we can have some fun afterwards. So I want to see 10, 15 of you, 20 of you be baptized on Sunday, August 30th. And we will baptize you. We'll tell you all about it, what it means. But really, it's nothing really more than identifying with Christ and taking that step of obedience that calls you His own. There are some countries in the world that if you are baptized, you are put on a hit list. Because you have identified not with the religion of the state. What I want you to do is I want you to check some of those, some or all of those, but especially consider the one on baptism on August 30th. And consider doing that. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a joyful time when we have that baptism. Because I know that many of you would like to be baptized. And that's why we asked our junior high people to be here this morning. Because I know some of them have talked to me that they want to be baptized. And this is a good time to do it. And just in 3 weeks, we're going to have that baptism.